But for today, we're going to continue our series called Forgotten God. And I've got some music that I wanted to start off with and see if you guys recognize it. You recognize that? Raise your hand. Some of you know it. You don't want it? All right, you can cut the music. Who knows what that was? Star Wars. That's exactly right. Reason I'm playing some Star Wars music, because there's this guy in the movie named Han Solo. And in the first movie, the real first one, the episode 4, he was an unbeliever of the Force. He was a skeptic of the Force. And by the time episode 7, The Force Awakens, comes, he was a different guy. And I just wanted to read a quote from episode 7. He said, "I used to wonder about that myself," meaning the Force. He said, "Thought it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo, magical power holding good and evil together, the dark side and the light side." He said, the crazy thing is, it's true. It's all true. The Force, the Jedi, all of it is true. Now, over the span of 7 movies, he went from being an unbeliever to a believer. And I was wondering, what was the change? And there is a spoiler alert if you haven't seen the new movie. Basically, his son was filled with the Force, and his son came to live in his home. His son was with him. And so what I'm thinking is, he saw the Force in activation with his own eyes. Now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit today. We've had a series called Forgotten God that we have started. It's all about the Holy Spirit. And the reason I talk about Han Solo is, for a lot of us, we've heard a lot of stuff about the Holy Spirit. Some of us have heard it's mumbo jumbo. Some of us have heard that's not for today. Some of us have not heard about him at all. But my belief is, if you have a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit of God, it will change your life forever. And so over the last 2 weeks, Pastor Lance talked about 2 things. He talked about who is the Holy Spirit. And we know he is the third person of the Trinity. He is the one who comes and indwells us as new believers. And the second week, he talked about, what is he like? And we know that he is the comforter. We know that he is the counselor. We know that he is our friend. A matter of fact, to boil it down like this, in the Old Testament, God spoke to a few people. He spoke to some prophets. He spoke to the king. But he usually spoke to one person at a time. When Jesus came on the scene in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he spoke to a lot of people at one time. He spoke to the 12, he spoke to the 3, but he also spoke to the thousands. But people outside of earshot of Jesus couldn't hear him. But Jesus told us this: it's advantageous, or it's to your advantage, that I leave. Now think about that for a second. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he told us that he must go. Now, we love Jesus. We wish Jesus was here right now. But in order so that the Holy Spirit could come, Jesus left. And now when the Holy Spirit came, he could fill all believers around the world at the same time. And so what we're going to be talking about today is having a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to be speaking this week and next week, and so this week it's all about you. And next week it has nothing to do with you at all. So look at your neighbor and say, this week it's about me. And look at your other neighbor and say, next week it's all about you. Because it's not about me. I love third service, not because of the rolls and the sweet tea and all the stuff that's coming next. I just love you guys because you guys get the advantage of all the stuff I wish I would have said in the first 2 services. You get the goods. You get all the good stuff. So we're going to be talking about something that is so controversial. It has split the church as we know it today in a lot of different directions. It is so toxic in some conversations that it's actually divided relationships. And you realize just by driving down the street that the church is divided. Not only is it divided racially, but it's divided by denomination. You have Pentecostal churches and Baptist churches. You have Methodist churches and Presbyterian churches. You have Catholic churches and black churches and white churches, Korean and Hispanic churches. But what we're going to be talking about today is something that's really one of the most controversial issues in the church over the last several hundred years, and maybe even longer, is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And you may be asking, why is it so controversial? I didn't know that. Well, there are actually denominations, some. There are actually churches that will say, everything I'm about to tell you is wrong. But what I want to ask you today is, don't look at what you've heard. Don't look at what you've been taught before. But as we open up the Bible, let the Bible and the Spirit of God speak to you for itself. Can I get an amen? We're going to start off, we talked about this thing, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That idea actually comes from the Old Testament, a prophet named Joel. But in Acts chapter 2, this prophecy, which is something that's to come, was actually spoke of in Acts chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. And it says this, and we're going to have a lot of scripture today. Hopefully you got a Bible. You can take some notes. You can use your phone, whichever you want to do. But it says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Bless you. And it said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now, next week we're going to talk all about prophecy and a lot of other things, but for today, this is all about your own personal relationship with God. Whether you've got your arm around your wife, or you're sitting next to your buddy, or you're sitting next to your child, this is not about them. Today it's about you and your own personal relationship with the Holy Spirit today. And just to let you know, what I'm going to be talking about, this is not fringe Christianity. This is not like on the verge of, is this really in the Bible, or is this some weird mysticism? Everything that I'm going to be talking about is square in the middle of the Bible. A matter of fact, if you take out what I'm going to be talking about from the New Testament would look like Swiss cheese. It would have holes in it. And today, again, we're not coming from some denominational standpoint, but simply from the Word of God today. And you know, as we read this and as we study this, it's really Satan's plan to divide the church. It's really Satan's plan to thwart what God would want to do today. And I believe the reason why is this: only the Holy Spirit can bring us together. Only the Holy Spirit can break down walls of race, language, age, and culture. And we see that in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I want to start off in Acts chapter 2 right now. This is what's called the Day of Pentecost. You can turn over there, Acts chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. This is what's called the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost was going on during this day, and we'll see in just a second. But Pentecost changed everything in the life of the early believers. And we don't call it Pentecost just because this event happened. It was actually called Pentecost before this happened. But Pentecost itself commemorates God giving us the Ten Commandments after his people were freed from Egypt. And God sets a precedent in the way he does things. He freed them, and then he spoke to them. And he does that even today. He frees you when you believe the gospel. When you trust that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, he can set you free from bondage and shame and guilt. But then he also wants to speak to you as well. So we're going to be studying this today. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now to stop there, they were all waiting for the Holy Spirit. Jesus had just several weeks earlier, he had died on the cross. He had been buried and raised again on the third day. And he had shown himself alive to over 500 people at one time, but to multiple disciples in different times. And then he ascended into heaven. The Bible calls that, we call that the ascension. And he rose, and even today the Bible says that he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And we usually think of the last words of Jesus as, go and make disciples. But his last words, which we found in Acts chapter 1, was to wait for the Holy Spirit, to wait for the promise. So before you go, you should wait to receive the Holy Spirit. And that's the problem with a lot of us today. We want to go, but we haven't waited. We haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to go and try to do things for God or to live this Christian life absent of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. It said, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now you can imagine, they didn't know what this was going to look like. They had no preconceived ideas of what it was going to be like, what was going to happen to them. But the Holy Spirit came, and this was the event. It happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, the miraculous thing other than that happened, there was a transformation that took place in the life of these believers. These were believers who had believed in Jesus. They trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They were waiting on the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we see something amazing that took place. One of the disciples we know of now as the Apostle Peter, he went downstairs. They were in a room called the Upper Room. And there was about 120 disciples in this room. And Peter came down after this experience. He went downside, and there was 3,000 people. He walked outside. Now, these were guys who were afraid. These were guys who had been hiding because they thought that the same thing that happened to Jesus was going to happen to them as well. Now, Jesus got crucified, and Roman soldiers were still on the prowl. And so they were all hiding, so they were filled with fear. But as soon as the Holy Spirit came and filled them, something happened. Fear went away. Peter went downstairs. 3,000 people heard them speaking in unknown tongues, and they were like, what the heck is going on? They must be drunk. Peter said, we're not drunk. It's only middle of the day. And he started to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is very simple, that God became a man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death that we deserve. In our place. It's important you remember, he died in our place. We're the ones who sin and deserve punishment. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, proving that he is God. And he offers forgiveness and salvation for all of those who repent and believe the gospel. Now, this was the message that they heard that day. 3,000 people outside the upper room heard the message of the gospel, and their response was this. The Bible says that they were torn or cut to the heart as a result of their sin being atoned for, as a result of their sin not being punishing them, but got punished, or the punishment went to someone else. And they said, what must we do as a result of this? And this is amazing in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, he gave them a threefold response to this message. In Acts chapter 2, he said, Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise, which is the Holy Spirit, is for you and your children. See, many people who disagree with this teaching will say this was only for the apostles. This was only for those that were in the upper room. This was only for those that were in that generation or that time frame, or for those that were in the Bible times, whatever that means. But when you read the next verse or the next line, listen to what it says. It says, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your children and for all. Everybody say all. Who are far off, for all, say all again, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Now, there's the problem with the church today is the Bible says that we should repent, be water baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you have repented. Repentance only means this, is that it's a change of mind. It's seeing things for the way God says them. It means that I've been going in my own direction, doing my own thing, contrary to the Word of God. I realize what God says about something, and I change my mind to line up with what God says. And it changes, the change of mind results in a change of action. That's repentance. And that's how you become born again. You realize at first, Jesus is not the Son of God. Then you repent. You know what? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for me. Therefore, I believe that I will be forgiven of my sins because of what Jesus did for me. That's repentance. The next thing he said they should have done is to be water baptized. Some of you have been water baptized, but some of us have only repented. We haven't been baptized. And now here's the thing. For a lot of us, we've repented, we've been water baptized, but we have not received the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about right now, having a personal relationship with him. Some would say that this outpouring of the Holy Spirit only happened on the day of Pentecost. But in Acts chapter 2 was what we read, but it also happened in Acts chapter 8, in Acts chapter 10, in Acts chapter 19. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 19 right now. These were believers in Jesus Christ who had repented, who had been water baptized, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. And it says in Acts chapter 19, verse 1, it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And so they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Some of us have went to church where we've seldom heard any teaching about the Holy Spirit whatsoever. And this was a situation. They'd heard about Jesus. They'd given their life to Jesus. They were told they should have been water baptized, and they had been water baptized. It says in verse 3, "Into what then were you baptized?" The word baptized means submerged. So when you get water baptized, you are submerged into water and you come back out. If you haven't been water baptized, you would like to be. All that means is it's an outward expression. It's symbolic of what Jesus has done already in your heart. It's a public profession of your faith. And they said, and if you want to be water baptized, you can use a connection card, fill that out, and turn it in at the connection point, and we'll follow up with you. But it says in verse 3, "In what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." They're talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he was the guy who baptized everybody, right? He's the one who had actually baptized Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it says in verse 4, Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying that to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him," that is, Jesus Christ. And in verse 5, it says, "They heard this, they were baptized or submerged in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them," we'll be talking about that more next week, "but he laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Now, one of the big things, actually there's two big things, why people don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a guy named Francis Chan who wrote a book about the Holy Spirit. And he said there's two reasons why people are not filled with the Holy Spirit. He said the first reason is they don't believe what the Bible says. Now, I just want to talk to you for a second. Jesus said we need the Holy Spirit. So who are we to say that we don't need the Holy Spirit? He actually left the planet so that the Holy Spirit could come to all who would believe. But one of the reasons why we don't is because we don't believe. Maybe we don't believe the theological nuances of the Word of God. But the other reason is because we do believe. One of the reasons we don't get filled with the Holy Spirit is because we believe that God's going to do some weird stuff in our life. We saw somebody do some crazy stuff on TBN, or grandma goes to this one church and they do a bunch of wild and crazy stuff. And I like the Holy Spirit. We're cool, but I like prophecy. That's kind of nice. I want to be able to lay hands and heal people, but I don't want to speak in tongues. That's just weird, Jesus. That's what a lot of people will say. They don't want to allow God to do weird things in their life. Now, here's the thing. Some of the things that you read in the Bible are weird. Some of the things that you see people do outside the Bible or out in the community or in church are weird. But just because it's weird doesn't mean it's not in the Bible. Now, some people do weird things just because they're weird. It doesn't mean it's in the Bible. They're just weird people. Stay away from them. But here's the question. Do you want to be biblically accurate or do you want to please people? Do you believe Jesus when he said you need the Holy Spirit? Who are you trusting in? See, to get along with the other food explanation, when you go to Ryan's and you got the big buffet, it's not like we can say we want the mashed potatoes, we want the meatloaf, we want the green beans, but I don't want the Brussels sprouts. We can't do that with God. We can't pick and choose what we want to believe out of God's word. Oh, I love salvation. Thank you, God, for setting me free, but I don't want the Holy Spirit. Who's really in control when you start picking out what you choose to believe and want God to do in your life? Yeah, and you are. We make ourselves out to be God. And the reality is either you want everything that God has for you or you don't. But you cannot select what you want and what you do not want. See, the thing about the Holy Spirit is some people think that this is all fresh. This is all, you know, God's never done anything before like this. But the Holy Spirit has been around forever. He is God, the third person, the Holy Spirit. And he has been around before the day of Pentecost. A matter of fact, in the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit working all the time. Now, I'm going to give you a little analogy about this that I want to show you a picture of my son. His name is John. Just turned 3 years old about a week or two ago. Where's John at? That's not him looking up in the sky. There he is. That's our little guy. Now, the thing about John is that these are his Superman jammies. When he puts on these Superman jammies, when he puts on his cape, when he puts on his mask, he is Superman. Now, you laugh. But he would say, Daddy, I'm Superman. He sticks out his chest. He really believes he is. He flies around the room. Now, here's the thing. He's only Superman while he's got his jammies on. When he changes clothes, he's not Superman anymore. He's just a regular old boy. Now, this is a lot like the Old Testament. You remember a guy named Samson in the Old Testament, the big strong guy? He's a guy, the Bible says, that the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And he was able to rip a lion in two with his bare hands. Now, outside of the Spirit of God being on him, he couldn't do anything. And you see that throughout the Old Testament, that for different times and for different seasons, the Holy Spirit would come on people and then he would leave. Now, this is the great thing about our personal relationship with the Holy Spirit today is because after the day of Pentecost, Jesus told us about the Holy Spirit. Not only will he be with you, he will be in you, and he's going to remain there. Now, let me ask you this. Why would we avoid having this kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit where he can talk to you? I want to give you an example in my life. A few years ago, I was walking in my neighborhood in the morning trying to have some time with God. And I was praying, and then I just stopped praying, and I just started listening. Now, there's a type of prayer where you talk. You know, most of us pray like this. Lord, help me. Don't let me get hit on Tiny Town by crazy people. Lord, don't let my boss be a jerk today. In Jesus' name, amen. And we get up, and we go to work, and that's about our prayer life. That's probably like 80% of the church, probably. Now, here's the thing. You talking to God is great. You need to talk to God, whether it's like that or whether it's for 10 hours. But God also wants to speak to you as well. And so I was walking in my neighborhood, and all of a sudden I prayed every prayer I could think of, and then God started talking to me. And this may not mean a lot to you, but it meant a world to me. He began to tell me something that I didn't know I needed to hear. He began to give me peace I didn't know that I needed. And he basically said this. On the day that your father moved away, my mom and dad divorced when I was 3 years old. My dad came back from Vietnam all jacked up. He was hitting and beating my mom and drinking, and I was 3 years old. I was just a sad little kid for a little while. And the Holy Spirit of God told me, he said, when your dad moved out, I watched over you every single day. I protected you. I guarded you. I shielded you from things that you didn't know that you were being shielded from. And I began to cry. He began to give me counsel I didn't know I needed. That's because I have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't just talk to me because I have a title. I'm just a guy who loves Jesus, and I read the Word of God, and I believe it. And when the Bible says I need to have a personal relationship with God, and it's advantageous for me to have it, I believe the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you too. How many of you would love to have a counselor in your life that's better than the ones you can pay for? How many of you would want to have an advocate, somebody to stick up for you when you didn't know you needed sticking up for? How many of you would want to have a personal relationship with God? So I'm going to pray in a second, but I fully believe that there are people that have been trying to pray to God and feel like they haven't heard him before. They have been trying to do things in their own strength. There have been people in this room that really believe that, well, maybe this God stuff is not real because I pray, I don't hear anything. You need to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And how do we do that? So the last question I want to ask you, how do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Well, the good news is the Bible gives us an answer, and Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. It says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Any evil people like to give gifts to their children? Don't raise your hand. Do you not? He says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, my brother was a really smart guy. He died several years ago. He was an assistant attorney general for the state of Tennessee. Vanderbilt educated, law school, really smart guy. He was my older brother. And we had a discussion about Jesus one day. And I presented the gospel to him. And he said, all I got to do is believe. He thought it was so simple, it was ridiculous. And when you think about it, to a lot of educated people, the gospel sounds ridiculous. You mean all I have to do is believe and God will forgive me of my sins? I said, yeah, that's it. Well, there's a very simple answer here. How do I receive the Holy Spirit? Ask him. Just simply ask him. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But either we're going to believe the Bible or we're going to spend the rest of our life trying and striving and trying to do all kinds of stuff to have a relationship with God, or we're simply going to believe what the Word of God says. And I just want to pray for you today. I believe there's some individuals in this room that want to receive everything that God has for them. On the day I got born again, in August the 10th of 2003, the nastiness of my life flashed before my eyes, and I repented of all my sin that I knew of. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and the guy up front that I talked to, he said, have you heard about the Holy Spirit? It's the power to live a godly life. And he started to show me a lot of scripture, a lot of the ones that I've shown you today. And he said, do you want everything that God has for you? I said, I do. I didn't know all that that meant. I didn't care about the weird people on TBN. I didn't know if God was going to send me to some foreign nation around the world, which he has, and I despised at that time, but now I love it. I didn't know that God had a plan for me that it included me having a personal relationship with him. And I'm telling you, he is doing the same thing to you if you want him. I just want to pray for you today, if you could bow your heads. Father, I thank you that many people may have came to church today not really expecting to ask you to give the Holy Spirit so that they can have a relationship with him. But God, I pray today that today is not an ordinary Sunday. We can leave and go to O'Charlie's, have the rolls, have the sweet tea, and life will be just as it was on Monday morning, and nothing has changed. But I believe that there are people in bondage. I believe there's people in fear. I believe there are people who are desperately crying out for you, and they want a personal relationship with God that's been elusive. They've tried to do things. They've tried to go to church. They've tried to give money. They've tried to be nice. But all of those things do not equate to a relationship with you. Father, I simply ask you to fill every person who asks you. God, I pray that just as you told the disciples to go, but You first told him to wait for the Holy Spirit. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be discussing the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a night of worship, God. I pray that you would begin to come to every individual in this room that seeks your face. I pray that you would allow their ears to hear your voice clearly. Your word says, Lord Jesus, that my sheep know my voice. I pray that your children would hear your voice. God, I pray even now, as they're contemplating, should I ask the Holy Spirit to come into my life? Father, I pray that they would lean on the side that agrees with your word. Maybe you're here today. You weren't looking for him, but he's looking for you. My good friend David Fisher said one time, the Holy Spirit is in hot pursuit of you. He seeks you and you didn't know you needed to be found. All you have to do is believe and ask. One of the hardest things to do is to believe, because belief means that we have to trust. Father, I pray even now, as individuals under their breath are saying the words, Holy Spirit, come into my life. I receive you without preconditions. Just fully receive you even now. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.